What if I told you that the absolute worst thing you can do for dry, cracked lips is to actually lick them?
Oh, yeah, it is the worst.
Right. Or like that slouching at your desk isn't just giving you a sore back, but it's physically tricking your brain into a literal state of anxiety.
It's completely true, yeah.
It's wild. Today, we are tearing down all these myths of manufactured beauty. We're proving that true, radiant confidence isn't something you just buy at a department store counter. I mean, it is something you build. So, welcome to the Pidcot Podcast. We are just so thrilled to have you joining us to unpack all of this. And just to officially kick things off, we are Annabelle and Bill Pidcot.
It is genuinely wonderful to be here with you. Today's mission is exploring an incredibly powerful framework, which is the five pillars of natural beauty and confidence.
I love that title so much.
Right. And the core idea we are diving into here is that confidence isn't some fixed magical trait. You aren't just born with it or without it. It's a moving target. It is built piece by piece through really highly accessible daily habits. It's about, gently nudging your day in a better direction, using biology and psychology completely without spending a fortune.
Which is what we all want, right? And we're able to bring you this deep dive thanks to the phenomenal materials provided by Pidcot, specifically pulled from the best-selling ebooks available right now on their store. You absolutely have to visit www.pidcot.com/books to download these amazing resources. Seriously, it's a total game changer.
It really is.
Hey, before we get completely lost in the science of all this, I have a quick favor to ask you. Please subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
So laying the foundation for today's deep dive, we are looking at the actual mechanics of self-care.
Yes, the mechanics. Let's get into it.
We are breaking this down into five specific pillars, and we're starting from the most visible physical layers all the way down to your internal engine. The first stop is the surface level, proving that true radiance is driven by consistency, not the price tag of your products.
And that brings us right back to that wild fact about licking our lips. Pillar number one is soft lips without the fuss.
Oh, this is a big one.
I mean, we have all been there. It's winter, yeah. Or maybe the AC is just blasting in your office and your lips are just a dry, cracked, peeling mess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our first instinct. We lick them.
Every time.
It feels like we are moisturizing them in the moment, you know? Why is that actually making things so much worse?
Well, it comes down to the unique biology of the skin on your lips. It's incredibly thin. Unlike the skin on your cheeks or your forehead, your lips completely lack sebaceous glands.
Wait, sebaceous glands, what are those exactly?
So those are the microscopic glands that produce sebum. Sebum is just natural oil that keeps the skin lubricated and waterproof.
Okay, so the lips don't have those at all.
Nope, none. Because your lips can't produce their own oil, their moisture barrier is entirely reliant on what you do to protect it. When you lick your lips, you are depositing saliva. But saliva isn't just water.
Right.
It contains potent digestive enzymes like amylase and maltase. And those are specifically designed to break down food.
Wait. So when those enzymes sit on that delicate skin, they actually start breaking down the already compromised cellular barrier. Like, we are literally digesting our own lips.
Essentially, yes. You are applying digestive acids to a damaged barrier.
And it is horrifying.
It gets worse, actually. Yeah. Saliva evaporates very rapidly in the air. And as it evaporates, it creates a wicking effect.
A wicking effect, like activewear.
Kind of, yeah. It actually pulls the tiny amount of natural, deep moisture that's left inside your lips out into the surrounding air. So you are dehydrating them at the exact same time you're irritating them.
That is wild. But I mean, it makes total sense when you break it down like that.
Okay, but what about when we reach for those intensely minty lip balms? You know, the ones you buy at the checkout counter that make your lips tingle and burn a little bit?
Oh, the tingling balms.
Yeah. I always just assumed that cooling sensation meant the active ingredients were working, like I was doing something good.
That is a really common trap, and frankly, it's a brilliant marketing illusion.
Really? An illusion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those heavy, tingling bombs often contain ingredients like menthol, camphor, eucalyptus, or just really heavy synthetic fragrances.
Okay.
They create a localized, temporary cooling sensation by actually irritating the nerve endings in your skin.
Oh, wow. So it's not healing, it's just irritation.
Exactly. They trigger a micro-inflammatory response. Mm-hmm. And over the long term, that constant low-grade inflammation literally destroys the skin barrier, which means your lips lose the physical ability to hold on to moisture on their own.
I knew it. I always felt like the more I used those specific balms, the more I needed them an hour later. Right, because you actually become addicted to the balm. Your lips are constantly inflamed and drying out the absolute second it wears off. It's a total dependency loop.
That is so sneaky. Okay, so if we strip it all back to basics, what is the actual solution here? And, like, how long does it take to heal all that damage? Are we talking about a month-long recovery process?
Not at all, actually. The solution is remarkably boring, but highly effective. You just stick to simple, gentle, occlusive ingredients. Things like pure petroleum jelly or a basic shea butter right before bed.
Okay, so no scents, no flavors.
Exactly. No scents, no flavors, definitely no tingling. If you stop the irritation cycle and just apply that protective layer at night, give it exactly 1 week.
Just 1 week.
Just 7 days. The cellular turnover rate for the lips is relatively fast. In 7 days, the skin cells turn over enough to repair that outer barrier, and you will see a profound difference.
7 days.
Okay, right. That is incredibly encouraging. So we've stabilized the very outer layer of the lips, but what about the rest of the canvas? Because the PicCot materials highlight a huge trap we fall into with our faces, which brings us to pillar two, a skin routine that actually sticks.
This is perhaps the most widespread issue in modern beauty culture right now.
Oh, totally.
People are just overwhelmed by marketing. They go out, they buy 10 different highly active serums, mm-hmm. You know, exfoliating acids, retinoids, vitamin
C. Really works, yeah.
Right, and they use them all at once, severely damage their skin, and then quit entirely out of frustration, which raises a really important question. Why do we equate complexity with efficacy?
I am so guilty of this. It's the whole more must be better mindset. Like, if two drops are good, a handful must be great.
Exactly. We all do it. But the real secret is that consistency beats intensity every single time. A boring, simple, two-step routine, just a gentle cleanser and a basic moisturizer done daily for a month, will predictably outperform a 12-step elaborate routine that you only have the energy to do twice a month. I was thinking about this all morning, actually, and I have an analogy. It's exactly like watering a houseplant.
Oh, I like that.
Right. Let's say you buy a beautiful, expensive fern. A little bit of water every single day keeps that plant thriving. But if you totally neglect it for a month and then panic and suddenly dump an entire gallon of water on it, you don't save the plant. You just drown it and rot the roots.
That is a perfect analogy because human skin, much like a plant, operates on the principle of homeostasis.
Homeostasis meaning balance.
Right, exactly. It deeply desires stability. When you throw 10 different active chemicals at it randomly, you disrupt what is known as the acid mantle.
Okay, hold on. I need to stop you right there. Acid mantle sounds like a defense mechanism from a sci-fi movie.
Is our skin actually acidic?
It actually is. Your skin has a natural pH level of around 4.7 to 5.5, which is mildly acidic.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, this acid mantle is a very fine protective film. It's made up of natural oils, amino acids, and sweat. And it acts as a physical and chemical shield against bacteria, viruses, and environmental pollutants. So it's our armor.
Precisely. When you use harsh cleansers or aggressively layer-strong acids, you completely strip that mantle away.
And then what happens?
Well, your skin then overcompensates. It panics and pumps out excess oil, which leads to breakouts, while simultaneously becoming tight and dehydrated underneath.
So by trying to fix our skin with a dozen expensive products, we are actually stripping away its natural armor.
That is wild. Okay, but what about the internal factors? The research mentions hydration and cutting back on sugar. I mean, I know sugar is generally bad for my health, but how does eating a cookie actually translate to a wrinkle or dull skin? That feels like a stretch.
It's really not a stretch at all when you look at the biology. It happens through a biological process called glycation.
Glycation, okay.
Right. When you consume excess sugar, those sugar molecules enter your bloodstream and naturally look for things to bind to. They attach themselves to proteins and fats, forming harmful new molecules called advanced glycation end products, or, ironically, AGEs.
Oh, wow. AGEs literally age you. That is too perfect. It really is. And the proteins that are most vulnerable to this glycation process in your skin are collagen and elastin.
And those are the good ones, right?
Those are the best ones. They are the specific structural proteins that keep your skin firm, bouncy, and youthful.
Right.
When sugar molecules bind to them, it's like imagine pouring liquid concrete over a rubber band.
Oof. That paints a picture.
Yeah. The collagen fibers become cross-linked, stiff, and brittle. They completely lose their snap. And visually, this manifests as sagging, deep wrinkles, and a total loss of radiance.
That is terrifying, but honestly, also highly motivating.
Yeah.
It really changes how you look at a mid-afternoon Chinook crash.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there is sleep. The deep dive materials refer to sleep as free skincare that is always in stock.
I love that phrase because it is the ultimate restorative tool. And the mechanism behind it is entirely hormonal.
How so?
During the first few hours of deep sleep, your body's level of cortisol, which is the primary stress hormone, drops significantly.
Okay, cortisol goes down.
Yes. And simultaneously, your pituitary gland releases a massive surge of human growth hormone. This shift is basically a biological alarm bell that signals your skin to go into heavy repair mode. It starts creating new cells and fixing environmental damage from the day.
So if we are only sleeping, say, 5 hours a night because we're scrolling on our phones in bed, we're cutting off that repair cycle.
Exactly. If you cut sleep short, your cortisol stays chronically high.
And high cortisol is bad news for skin.
Terrible news. High cortisol triggers systemic inflammation and signals your sebaceous glands. Remember those?
The oil producers.
Right. It signals them to produce more oil, which leads to breakouts. It also degrades hyaluronic acid, which is the molecule that keeps your skin hydrated. Getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep isn't a luxury. It is a physiological necessity to maintain that cellular repair loop.
Incredible. Okay, so we've got the canvas, our skin, and our lips glowing, healthy, and stabilized. But now we move to the armor we wear over that skin. Pillar 3 is all about dressing in a way that feels like your authentic self. And the insights here are so clear. True style confidence has absolutely nothing to do with chasing whatever fast fashion trend is viral this week.
Right. It's rooted in a fascinating psychological concept called enclothed cognition.
Enclothed cognition?
Yes. This is the scientifically backed idea that the specific clothes we wear actually influence our psychological processes and our cognitive performance.
Wait, our clothes literally change how our brains work. How is that even possible?
It comes down to the symbolic meaning we attach to garments, combined with the physical experience of wearing them.
Okay, give me an example.
Well, when you wear clothes that don't fit right, or that feel like a costume of someone else's personality, your brain expends significant amount of cognitive energy monitoring your physical discomfort.
I know that feeling so well.
Think about wearing a suit jacket that is just too tight across the shoulders. You are physically pulling at it, adjusting the collar, constantly aware of your physical boundaries. You might even cross your arms defensively just to hide the fit.
Yes. You totally stop living in the moment, you stop listening to the conversation, and you just become a professional outfit adjuster.
Exactly.
But when you wear what makes you feel like you and when it actually fits, you just, I don't know, you just move, you glide through the world. But I have to push back here for a second.
Sure.
In the real world, doesn't a perfect, flawless fit mean you have to spend an absolute fortune on high-end designer brands?
That is the most pervasive myth in fashion, and it's mechanically false. Fit trumps the price tag every single time.
Really? Every time?
Without fail, here's the reality of garment construction. A $10 basic t-shirt that is perfectly tailored to sit correctly on the hinge of your shoulders will fundamentally look better and project more authority than a $200 designer shirt that droops an inch past your shoulder bone.
But how do mass market clothes fit so poorly in the first place? Like, why don't they just make them fit better?
Because buying off the rack clothing means buying something cut for a statistical average. It's a mathematical middle ground that doesn't actually exist in nature.
Oh, that makes sense. Nobody is the exact average of everything.
Right. Brands cut their armholes large and their waists wide to accommodate the maximum number of body types. So what does this mean for you? You utilize local tailoring.
Just take it to a tailor.
Exactly. Taking a pair of inexpensive trousers to a local shop for a basic hem, or having a waist taken in by a single inch, fundamentally transforms the geometry of the garment.
Just 1 inch.
Just 1 inch changes how the fabric drapes over your specific, unique frame. It turns a generic piece of mass market clothing into a custom piece of armor.
That completely flips the script on how we shop. Instead of buying a bunch of expensive new things, take the affordable things you already own and invest $20 to make them look custom made. I absolutely love that.
It's incredibly empowering.
It really is.
Yeah.
Now, before we keep building this incredible foundation of confidence, let's take a quick, joyful pause. I want to remind you that the incredible lifestyle breakdown we are exploring today comes straight from the brilliant minds at Picot. For more lifestyle transformation tools, you absolutely have to visit www.picot.com. And please subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
It's wonderful resources like those that really empower these practical changes.
Absolutely. So we've optimized the skin, we've tailored the clothes, but even the most beautifully tailored jacket will look entirely hollow if the physical frame carrying it has collapsed. Which brings us to pillar four, posture.
Yes.
Posture. Yes. Posture as the quiet confidence booster. Okay, you listening right now, I want to do a physical exercise with you in real time. Seriously, if you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel, but otherwise sit or stand up completely straight right now.
Do it with us.
Roll those shoulders up toward your ears, pull them back, and let them drop down. Lift your chin just a tiny bit. Now, imagine a golden string attached to the very top of your head, pulling you straight up to the ceiling. Oh my goodness, I just did it myself, and I instantly feel like my energy shifted. I feel like I own the room. What is actually happening in our biology when we do this?
What's happening is a profound, instantaneous shift in your biomechanics, in your nervous system.
In my nervous system.
Yes. When you are hunched over a desk or a phone, you are physically compressing your thoracic cavity, your chest.
Yeah.
And because of that compression, your diaphragm, which is the muscle right below your lungs, cannot fully descend.
Oh, because it's squished.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This means you are forced to take shallow, rapid breaths from your upper chest.
Okay, and why does that matter so much?
Because rapid, shallow chest breathing biologically mimics the body's natural fight-or-flight stress response.
Oh, wow.
You are subtly but constantly signaling to your brain that you are under physical threat. Slouching is literally tricking your nervous system into maintaining a baseline of anxiety.
That is unbelievable. So my bad posture is actually creating my stress, not just the other way around.
Exactly. The brain and body work in a two-way feedback loop. When you roll those shoulders back and imagine that string pulling you tall, you open the chest cavity. Your diaphragm finally has room to expand fully.
Right.
And you naturally take deeper, slower breaths into your belly. Deep diaphragmatic breathing stimulates the vagus nerve, which runs from your brain down into your abdomen.
The vagus nerve, I've heard of that.
It's crucial. When stimulated, the vagus nerve releases acetylcholine. That's a neurotransmitter that immediately lowers your heart rate and signals your brain that you are completely safe.
It's like a remote control for our nervous system.
Yeah.
And it changes how we sound too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Standing tall physically opens up your airway and changes how your vocal cords resonate. Your voice naturally becomes deeper, clearer, and projects with more resonance.
I can hear it in myself right now.
Right. Before you even utter a single syllable, a tall posture subconsciously signals to everyone around you that you are self-assured and physiologically regulated.
But the desk hunch is so hard to beat. We are all glued to our screens all day. What's the tactical fix here? Because I can sit up straight right now, but I know 5 minutes from now, I'll be shaped like a shrimp again.
It's true. It's tough. But the materials offer a brilliantly simple solution. Use technology to defeat the technology problem.
Oh, I like that. How?
Set a recurring reminder on your phone every 2 hours that simply says, shoulders back.
Just a little alarm.
Just a little alarm. It sounds too small to matter, but this is about neuroplasticity. You are retraining your brain's proprioception, which is its spatial awareness of where your body is in space. Every time that alarm goes off and you reset your posture, you are strengthening a neural pathway. These tiny recurring reminders compound over weeks. And eventually, that pathway becomes the path of least resistance.
So you don't even have to think about it anymore.
Exactly. Perfect upright posture becomes your natural default when you're just, you know, standing in line at the grocery store.
I am setting that alarm on my phone the second we finish today. Okay, we have arrived at pillar five. We have the glowing skin, the tailored fit, the upright posture. But the underlying message here is all of these physical manifestations require a stable internal engine to power them.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is the core of the entire philosophy. All the external work, the tailoring, the lip care, the posture adjustments, it all falls flat if you are running on empty inside.
Right.
Feeding the glow from within through acts of self-care and self-kindness produces a visible, undeniable radiance. People perceive it, even if they can't quite articulate what it is.
And a major part of that inner glow is protecting it from a very specific quiet thief, which is comparison. We are constantly looking at other people's highlight reels and judging our own behind-the-scenes reality. It just chips away at our foundation.
It does, and it happens on a neurochemical level, too.
Really? How?
Well, when you wake up and immediately scroll through highly curated social media feeds, your brain is forced to process an artificial hierarchy. You are bombarding your dopamine receptors with completely unrealistic standards of beauty, wealth, and success before your feet even touch the floor.
Gosh, when you say it like that, it sounds like torture.
It's self-sabotage. It induces a low-grade state of chronic psychological scarcity. You constantly feel like you are falling behind, which spikes that cortisol we talked about earlier.
You literally start the day in a deficit.
Yeah.
So how do we shut off that scarcity mindset and protect our dopamine?
Try this very specific experiment. Tomorrow morning, go one full morning without checking social media first thing. Just one morning.
Just one. That sounds doable.
Leave the phone in the other room. Instead, look out a window, stretch, drink a glass of water, make your coffee in peace. By breaking that immediate morning dopamine and comparison cycle, you allow your brain to establish a natural baseline of calm.
I love that. A baseline of calm.
I challenge you to analyze how much better, how much more solid your mood is by lunchtime. It is a striking difference.
There's an analogy in the materials that perfectly captures how all of this connects, and it's building a house. Think of it this way. The inner glow of self-kindness, that calm baseline protected from comparison, that is the deep concrete foundation of the house.
Yes.
Your posture and your tailored style. Those are the sturdy walls and the beautiful windows. And the skincare and the lip routine, those are the gorgeous finishing touches, you know, the paint and the trim. If you don't pour the foundation first, the whole house eventually sinks, no matter how expensive the paint is.
It's such a great way to visualize it. And what's truly magical here is the synergistic feedback loop.
The feedback loop?
Yeah. These five pillars do not exist in isolation. They feed each other.
Oh, I see.
When you take the time to clear up your skin or heal your dry lips,
right,
you get a small daily visual win. The win gives you a hit of natural dopamine. Because you feel good, you naturally stand a little taller.
Right.
When you stand taller, your clothes hang better on your frame. And when you catch a glimpse of yourself looking sharp and standing tall, it reinforces your self-kindness and gratitude. One good habit effortlessly triggers the next in this beautiful upward spiral of confidence.
It's an absolute chain reaction of positivity. But listen, if you are hearing all of this science and physiology and feeling a little overwhelmed right now, do not panic. Do not try to overhaul your entire life by tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. That is simply not how lasting human change works.
No, it isn't at all. The human brain actually rejects massive, sudden overhauls because it perceives them as a threat to its routine.
It freaks out.
Totally. The secret to lasting confidence is treating it like tending a garden. You pick just one habit from this list. Just one.
Just one thing.
Maybe it's just swapping the minty lip balm for petroleum jelly at night. Or just setting the shoulders back alarm on your phone. Try it for exactly 1 week.
And what I absolutely love most about this approach, what really hit my heart, is the grace it gives us. If you slip up, if you forget your posture all afternoon, or you fall down an Instagram rabbit hole when you meant to be present, it is not a failure. It's just a Tuesday.
Exactly. Just a Tuesday. The people who possess deep, unshakable confidence aren't the ones who possess perfect robotic discipline and never slip up.
Because nobody is perfect.
Right. They're the ones who can slip up, recognize it, and simply return to the habit the very next day without catastrophizing it, without making it a heavy moral failing. You just show up again.
You just show up again. I love that so much. And that brings us full circle. We started today talking about how people try to buy confidence in a bottle at a makeup counter. But we've seen that true radiance is built layer by layer through biology and intention. So I want to leave you with this lingering, provocative thought. What if true, radiant beauty isn't actually a physical trait at all? What if it is simply the outward, physical manifestation of treating yourself with relentless, daily respect?
That is the ultimate takeaway. When you respect your biology, your body, and your mind, the world inevitably sees it as beauty.
Thank you for listening to the PicCot Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for being there with us, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.